And it's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day minutia of your job and forget about some of the bigger picture items that could affect your career overall. Ed Zerndorfer is a registered employee benefit consultant. He has a list of the top 10 mistakes he finds that feds make during their careers. We've been discussing these for the past several weeks, and he joins us now with the next two on the list. Ed, welcome. I know we're going to be looking at mistakes number 7 and number 8 now, huh?
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Tom.
So failure to plan for incapacity while employed and when retired. What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is the following. Most federal employees accrue sick leave hours each pay period that can be used in case they become ill or they have to take time off from work because of an injury, a work-related injury, and they get paid. Sick leave is their actual pay. And for the amount of time they're off, assuming they have enough sick leave, they're going to get paid for that. But what would happen if an employee got injured, let's say, in a non-occupational accident, got very ill, and exhausted his or her leave? What's going to happen? Well, many agencies allow for the donation of unused annual leave by other employees, but even that may not be enough. There's a far greater chance that an employee who, let's say, who's just starting off in the government, who's in mid-career, is going to get incapacitated than they are going to die. But yet most employees have life insurance, which is used in case they pass away, and that's for their loved ones. It's protection for their loved ones. The point is that if an employee runs out of sick leave, they still have to pay their bills. How are they going to pay their bills if they don't have the money to pay them? And this is where short-term disability income insurance comes in. Most federal agencies do not offer short-term or long-term disability insurance, and employees have to go out and buy it. And the best time to buy it is when an employee is in his or her 20s and 30s when it's fairly cheap, because when you get older, it gets much more expensive. You have to buy it from a private insurance company. Most employees are never even told about this. They, unfortunately, some employees have found out the hard way what happens when they get incapacitated or disabled. It is true that if you are disabled for, let's say, 3 to 5 years, you could qualify for disability retirement. But even that's getting a little more difficult now because you have to be totally disabled, not be able to do any type of job. And after an employee retires, planning for incapacity means what would happen if a retiree would have to go, let's say, to a nursing home or assisted living. The federal government does offer long-term care insurance in which the participants pay the full cost of the premiums. But many employees don't even think about this till after they retire, when it gets to be much more expensive, or they could not qualify because of health reasons. A good age to buy long-term care insurance is when you are in your 50s, late 50s, early 60s, when the premiums will not be that expensive and the person can still qualify for it. So this is one of the mistakes that both employees and retirees make while they're working and after they retire, and let's say after they retire, not planning for quote unquote incapacity.
And Ed, by the way, isn't there a provision when you apply for incapacity insurance? They ask you if you do things like rock climbing and hang gliding or jumping out of airplanes with a parachute. And so people that might be in their 20s and 30s applying for that do those things.
Well, of course. I mean, certain occupations are not going to be able to qualify for let's say, disability income insurance, or if you have certain hobbies like hang gliding or parachuting, because there's a greater chance you're going to become incapacitated. I mean, sort of similar to what the life insurance companies will ask you, what type of job do you do, and if it's in a hazardous occupation, like let's say a police officer or something like that, chances are you're going to have to pay more for your life insurance premiums because you're in a more hazardous occupation. The other thing I want to mention regarding planning for incapacity is that as part of one's estate plan, one should be planning for incapacity. Estate planning means that naming beneficiaries for, let's say, bank and brokerage accounts, life insurance policy, the TSP, IRAs, and having a plan in place in case you get incapacitated. Naming beneficiaries for the accounts I just mentioned is in case you pass away. But what would happen, again, if you were to be incapacitated, who would take over for you to pay your bills, to pay any necessary expenses for your care? Also, as part of an estate plan, is having a will or a living trust in power in place, a durable power of attorney, having an advanced health care directive, and a living will. Many employees, many retirees, if they do not have these, or if they do have it, they're not up to date. Laws do change, and employees and retirees are encouraged to have their so-called estate planning documents up to date, and especially when it comes to naming beneficiaries for their accounts, that they should be up to date. If let's say an employee retired becomes divorced, they have to name new beneficiaries for their life insurance policies or TSP accounts. Courts have ruled several times that if a former spouse was named as beneficiary, that former spouse will get anything upon the death of the account owner because the beneficiary form was not updated. So this is all part of one's planning for incapacity, planning for death, is having a proper estate plan.
Okay, and we have about a minute here. Tell us about failure to have a proper and up-to-date estate plan.
Well, that's what I was just mentioning.
Assignment of benefits.
Beneficiaries,
right,
for your bank and brokerage accounts, life insurance policies, TSP account, and IRAs, and having important estate-related documents such as a living will, a will, having a living or a living trust, having advanced health care directive, also known as a health care power of attorney, and a living will, is all part of having a proper and up-to-date estate plan.
Yeah, and pull it out once a year and take a look at it too, probably, huh?
I'm sorry?
Take it out once a year and review it.
Have it reviewed and have it prepared, certainly, in terms of the documents I mentioned, should be prepared by a qualified estate attorney in the state that you live in. And you may have one, you may have moved to another state, but it should be reviewed by an estate attorney in the state that you are now living. All the information I just mentioned is up on the website. We have a list here of all the 10 biggest mistakes that federal employees make during their when planning for the retirement. They're all listed. What I talked about today are mistakes number 7 and number 8. They're all listed on your website. You have a link on Federal News Radio to that article I wrote about the 10 biggest mistakes that federal employees make.
Ed Zirndorfer, registered employee benefit. Thanks so much, as always, and have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.